Welcome to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Spend this hour with us learning how you can protect the people you love from the financial, physical, and emotional consequences of an extended healthcare situation. Because of new state and federal laws, there are new and exciting long-term care planning options available. As a certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott will help you make sense of your options. Now, here's your host of Long-Term Care Radio, Brian Ott.
You know, an interesting thing has happened quietly in this country over the last couple of years, and that is the existing long-term care problem that this country faces has been moving out of the shadows and into the spotlight. And I will tell you, COVID is a big part of that. And if you're like me, you are probably just exhausted, tired of hearing about COVID, but the truth is it's here, and it sounds like it's here to stay. And in fact, I would say COVID is the match that lit the fire on the long-term care problem in this country. If you remember, the first cases and deaths were in a nursing home in Kirkland, Washington. I used to live in Kirkland, and it's just, you know, right down the road from where our main office is located. And so that was the first big news story, the nursing home that they had to go on to lockdown. Then the governor of New York created a mess, the ex-governor now, created a mess when he had COVID-positive patients moved from the hospital to nursing homes where COVID just spread like wildfire, literally killing thousands. I had a good friend of mine that had an aunt and uncle. His aunt had Alzheimer's, and his uncle and aunt lived in a facility, and they both ended up getting exposed to COVID and dying. It was just horrible. Nursing homes and assisted living facilities all over this country went into lockdown. Many of them lost workers at an alarming rate. Occupancy levels at even the higher-end facilities dropped, and the waiting lists all but disappeared. And what I mean by that is if you go to some of these nicer assisted living facilities out there, just all over the country, the nicer ones will have 2, 3, even 4 or 5 year waiting lists. So a lot of people will go in, some even require a deposit. So you have to put a deposit down, and then they let you know in order when a room becomes available or an apartment becomes available. So those waiting lists have been very common, but they pretty much all but disappeared, even in some of the nicer units. Many of the children were moving their parents out of those assisted living facilities and bringing them in back into their own home. Now, this created a whole nother world of problems. How do we keep grandma isolated from everybody else in the family? Kids are giving up their play dates. We're keeping family members on different levels of the floor. And it was all in the order to keep your loved one out of that facility, out of that group community care where they were receiving their long-term care services. Now, countless others were forced to quit their jobs to take care of loved ones. And I had a client that they did this. It was a husband and wife both working. The wife ended up quitting her job so that they could move her mom back in with them and take care of her. And so that's been a very common problem across the country now. Many people, you know, they still can't find affordable help for home care. So they're having to provide those services themselves. Now, home care agencies, the agencies that bring those healthcare workers into your home to provide those long-term care services, they have lost employees at a record number. Those workers are walking out of that job. It's kind of a tough job anyway for the wages. And now all of a sudden you're facing something like a pandemic and you have to wear all this extra protective gear. It just really became a mess for them. Now, as of this recording, when I'm putting this show together for Long-Term Care Radio, I have checked around. I'm starting to see that some of the higher end assisted living facilities are starting to come back. They're starting to fill back up, and they're even starting to get some small waiting lists. And I think just as a general rule, these higher-end facilities were the ones that had the resources to adapt to the new COVID protocols and have been able to update dining facilities and bring in additional safety measures to make their tenants feel comfortable. So they're starting to see a pick back up where people are starting to say, okay, I think I feel comfortable enough moving back in there. However, many of the smaller facilities are still struggling. Some of the adult family homes, they're still struggling with staffing issues. In fact, I had a conversation with an adult family home owner. They own 3 different adult family homes. They've ended up having to close one, and they contribute that mostly to the COVID and the problems that that's brought as far as finding workers. They just cannot find the staff. He said they've increased wages. They've tried everything, signing bonuses, and they just don't have enough staff now to keep their third home open. So these are some of the problems, some of the issues that COVID has created. while at the same time exposing a problem that has been festering in this country for a long time. And that is, who is going to take care of our elders in a need, who are elders in need of long-term care services, and who's going to pay for it? I mean, if we look back the last 100 plus years, family has always been part of the solution. In fact, for most of history, family was the only solution. Today, with a smaller family sizes and the fact that we are living longer, the ability for many people to rely on their family is just not possible. And if you read any of the books, you know, you'll see that a lot of these third world countries, they are the people that are having the most children. And, you know, their sense is still where we were 100 years ago. A child is an asset. That's something that's going to take care of you as you age and get older. And so as the more developed countries are having fewer kids, we're also running into that cycle. There's a lot of people out there that don't have those families to rely on. And if we look at it today, statistically, 50% of people receiving long-term care services in the United States are getting all of the help they need from family members. And then you put another 15% on top of that are using family members for at least part of their care services. So if we add that up, that means about 2 out of 3 people today receiving long-term care services are still relying on family members for at least part of that care. Now, that sounds pretty good, 2/3, but remember, it's basically 100%, you know, 50 years ago. So that means it still leaves millions of people out there who need to rely solely on paid services for the care that they need. And that number is growing each year. Services in a variety of locations, including in your home, those home health care workers needing somebody to come in and provide that care. That's what people are struggling to find right now because of COVID. But also care in assisted living facilities, adult family homes, adult daycare, continuing care retirement centers, special memory facilities, and yes, even that dreaded nursing home. Now, the need for this care creates the real problem. Someone has to pay for those services, and millions of people will end up needing care without the resources to pay for it. That's the real problem that we're facing as a nation. So who's going to pay this long-term care bill when the bill comes due? Now, this is a big debate, and this is getting louder and louder right now. And that's what I mean by the discussion. It's coming out of the shadows and right into the forefront. Many people want the government to pay for long-term care services, and a lot of people believe the government does. And actually, I'm going to tell you a little secret. The government will pay for your long-term care, but there is a catch, and it's a big one. Number one, you have to play by their rules, and those rules are harsh. Number one, you have to spend down your liquid assets. That includes savings, investments, retirement accounts, cash value and life insurance, any money that you have available. You have to spend that down to no more than $2,000 as a single individual. This money has to be spent down to pay for your care. Remember, there's a 5-year look back now. The government, this is the Medicaid program is what it's called. The Medicaid program looks back for 5 years before, and they're going to say, hey, you just gave $100,000 to your kids. We're going to claw that back. That you're not going to be eligible for care. So there's a 5-year look back. You got to spend the money down on your care. You then have to sell your fixed assets, rental properties, second homes, cars, anything of value. You have to liquidate that first. Then, once you get rid of all that, and if you're a single owner, they're going to put a lien on your house. If you're married, the community spouse, which is what they call it, the community spouse, your husband or wife, the healthy person can keep the house. But if you're a single person, there's going to be a lien on your house if you own a house. And then you turn over your income to the state to pay for your care. Pensions, social securities, any endowments, any trust income, all of that's going to go to pay for your care first. The government usually gives you around $60, give or take, to buy toothpaste and birthday cards every month. That's about all they're going to let you have. And then lastly, the thing you have to remember, the biggest rule that I struggle with, is you become a ward of the state. That means you give up control. The government now chooses where you receive care and what that care is. Now, I will tell you, I lived through this personally. I had a grandmother that was in assisted living in Alamosa, Colorado, and at the same time, I had an aunt that was in and out of the Medicaid system. And I went to visit her one time when she was actually in a Medicaid nursing home. And folks, it was a stark difference. My grandmother's place, you walked into, there, the receptionist said hi to you. She actually knew me. They had a library off to the right. They had a nice sitting area there. They had a nice kitchen. It's just a beautiful area. Swimming pool for the kids to play in. Walked down these nice wide carpeted halls to an apartment that my grandmother had. Then in contrast to that, a few blocks away, the Medicaid nursing home, I had to knock on the door. It had one of those like safety glass windows like a prison. They open that door. I walk into this tiny room. I tell them who I'm looking for, and they send me down this tiled hallway full of people sitting in wheelchairs. And when I got to my aunt's room, there were three people in her room. She was on a fold-out bed, like a cot, next to the bathroom because the other two beds were full. Folks, that's the Medicaid system. You don't get to choose that. So yes, the government will pay for your care, but you have to understand that the rules that they have right now are harsh. So how do we solve this problem? Governments around the world are looking at options, and, you know, including the United States. This is a problem that we have to figure out. Is this a problem that we should be handling by the federal government? Should the state government be taking care of this? We're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss that today on how do we solve this problem and what the reality is and what we're actually trying to do right now as a nation. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
New asset-based programs protect your savings and your family, and even pay you back if you never use them. Make sure your care is funded and managed in a time of need. Learn more and sign up for one of Brian's free live webinar classes at 525longtermcare.com. As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. A smart, informative way to learn about long-term care is to join Colorado's certified long-term care planning specialist and host of Long-Term Care Radio, Brian Ott from 525 Advisors, for his free long-term care planning live webinar, Saturday, December 11th at 10 a.m. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you. Plans that even have lifetime benefits that pay you back if you never use it. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and 525 Advisors. So get the great peace of mind long-term care coverage can give your family. Join the free live webinar Saturday, December 11th at 10 a.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
Do you know that 7 out of 10 people past the age of 65 need at some point some sort of long-term care? That's 70%. Now, many of us think it could never happen to us or somebody else is going to be there to take care of us, but the facts are clear. Most of us will need to pay for help in the future. And not only is that help expensive, but it puts a burden on family members as well. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, start today with 525 Advisors. Recent changes to the Pension Protection Act have made new programs more advantageous than ever. How would you like to get your premiums back if you never use your long-term care insurance? Well, you can. How would you like to leverage some of your savings for increased coverage using tax-free dollars? Now you can. 525 Advisors are the local long-term care experts. Protect yourself and your family members from the high cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com. This is Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. Listen and learn information from a certified long-term care planning specialist. You can email your questions to radio at 525advisors.com.
And welcome back, and thanks for tuning in this week. You probably just heard a couple of the ads there during the break. We do have a couple classes coming up, and I want to share those with you real quick. It's going to be Saturday the 11th. That is our long-term care planning webinar class. And then again, Wednesday the 15th. That's the following Wednesday. Saturday is going to be at 9 in the morning. That's Pacific time, West Coast time, 10 in the morning, Rocky Mountain time. And then the Wednesday afternoon is going to be a 3 o'clock Pacific time start off, and that would be 4 o'clock Rocky Mountain time. So you can sign up at 525longtermcare.com. Class is free. It's a live webinar. You get to see me. You get to ask me questions. You can send your questions in. We'll even send you a book that we put together, a guide to long-term care planning for those people who attend. So just a great way to kind of get the basics and understand kind of what we're doing. So we're talking a little bit about the problems that we're having in this country and how COVID really exposed these problems for long-term care planning. And I will tell you, if anything, you know, COVID exposed just how many people are in long-term care situations across this country, and it's shown a light on some of the problems the nation faces as we try to figure out how to handle the ever-growing demand for long-term care services. Now, the 900-pound gorilla, and I will tell you, this is a hungry gorilla. He's sitting back there in the corner of the room, and he's looking down at your fruit platter over there, and you're down to one banana. So the 900-pound gorilla in the room is the baby boomers, okay? This is the baby boomers. This is a group of adults that were born between 1946 and 1954, and they add up to over 71 million individuals in this country. Okay? That's between 57 and 75. So if we do some third grade math on that, that means we have 10,000 a day, 10,000 individuals every single day turning 75 in this country. And that's going to continue for another 18 years. And 10 years ago, we were talking about this. We've got 10,000 a day turning 65. Well, guess what? Those 65-year-olds are becoming 75-year-olds. So another name for this that we commonly call this in the industry is the silver tsunami, because we have such a large group of people in the same age group that are heading into retirement. Now, we have this big influx of retirees coming, and a lot of them are not prepared physically or financially to age gracefully in their retirement years. And let me explain what I mean. Physically, we are seeing a record numbers of chronic health conditions afflicting our seniors. Diabetes at record levels, vascular and cardiac problems, Alzheimer's and cognitive issues are some of the fastest growing issues out there, early onset Alzheimer's. Okay. And as our medical advances expand, we are seeing longer lifespans, but not necessarily an improvement in the quality of life. I mean, it's kind of one of the big jokes in the insurance thing. We look about it from long-term care today is that, yeah, what killed you 20 years ago is just putting you in long-term care today. So the life insurance companies are winning because you're still alive, but the long-term care companies are losing because you're going to live a lot longer, where you would have just died from that stroke or that heart attack 20 years ago. But the advances are getting so good now that they're able to keep us alive. So the first one is physically. We've got this silver tsunami, and a lot of these people heading into retirement are just not physically fit. They've got some chronic health issues already. The second big issue is financially. A good portion of the baby boomers are not going to have enough money to pay for any of their long-term care, and they will rely on public services for all of their support right out of the gate. I mean, just day one. In fact, if you do some research on this, it's estimated that over 40% of Americans will retire with less than $10,000 saved. Think about that. 40% of people are heading into retirement with just a Social Security check and less than $10,000 saved. They end up in a long-term care situation. They couldn't even cover the 90-day elimination period on a traditional plan. That $10,000 is just going to be, gone, and they're going to end up right on the public support system. So as this group of baby boomers ages through retirement, the majority of them will need long-term care services. Remember, it's about 70% are expected to need some kind of long-term care services after age 65. So 70% will need some help before they pass away. And yet over half of them are not going to be able to pay for any of the services that they need. And a lot of them don't have the family to rely on either. So this is a real problem. So what is the solution? The freight train has entered the other side of the tunnel, and it is barreling down on us fast. We can see the light now. So now, the states and the countries across the world are grappling with this issue. What do we do? Well, the debate is, whose problem is this? Do we just let each person fend for themselves? Or is this a greater issue where the government needs to step in and figure out how to manage and finance the care that is going to be required? State governments have already acted. If you're living out in Washington State, you know this. You're facing a payroll tax coming starting January of this year. They're going to be collecting a payroll tax on all wages that you earn to put into a trust fund to try to pay for some long-term care services down the road. And don't get me started on that. We've done plenty of shows on that, but it's an absolute mess. There are 12 other states that are currently looking at a similar type of solution. Colorado is one of them. So just be aware of this. And in Washington State, by the way, if you don't have long-term care insurance your own, you are in this plan and you're going to be taxed regardless. Whether you think the plan is fair or good, or depending, it doesn't matter how much money you make, they're going to tax all of it. So be aware of that's coming. Now, the federal government has been grappling with this problem, and they've had several ideas and several failed attempts. The last one was Obamacare. Obamacare, in fact, a recent survey that they did a while back, it was about 6 years ago, actually, after Obamacare was out, they came out and they said, hey, here we go, or I guess maybe it's a four-year-old survey. Anyway, they just said, does Obamacare pay for long-term care? 80% of the people surveyed said yes. They believe that Obamacare paid for long-term care services, so they didn't need to worry about it. And the fact is, folks, Obamacare, your health insurance, does not pay for long-term care services. And what happened? Why weren't they able to make that happen? Well, the third grade math didn't work out. It's just too expensive. I mean, people don't realize the severity and the cost of long-term care situations and how much money it's going to take. Now, remember, the states share Medicaid with the federal government. So again, that's why Washington State is trying to figure out how to raise some more money on their own, because whatever they spend out, they're going to say, well, that's money that would have been spent on Medicaid anyway, so they're still going to want the federal government to pay their half. And so that's really what a lot of states are trying to figure out how to do, is get more money in the coffers to pay for this ever-growing demand for Medicaid. Now, currently, we have an administration that is looking at shoring up Medicaid with a $400 billion infusion that would pay for basically more health care workers and higher wages in the Medicaid system. This is part of the Build Back Better infrastructure plan. Yeah, it's that, and everything else is put into this plan. Now, this would certainly help the most needy, but it's not a long-term solution for what we have facing us as a nation. Remember, Medicaid is a safety net program, and you're already financially broke before you get a dime paid for your care. The middle class will gain absolutely nothing from this Build Back Better plan as far as long-term care services. They will get nothing out of that. Because remember, middle class, you got to spend your money down to $2,000. So expanding Medicaid is just simply going to help the poorest of the poor. Now, expanding Medicaid program isn't entirely bad, but it does give the states an incentive to loosen the asset requirements for qualification. You know, again, bringing more people into that system and, again, creating a bigger problem. You know, it's a snowball effect. The more people we put on the Medicaid system, the more money we need to run that Medicaid system. So if Medicaid is expanded, it needs to be accompanied by even more stringent asset limits to keep the plan viable for the neediest people. Currently, you know, the vast majority of wealth in this country is held in real estate. It's in their own homes. And that is a big problem with Medicaid. A lot of the states can put liens on those properties, but a lot of them don't. A lot of them don't go back and collect that. The house can always go to the community spouse. And so that is one of the big things they're talking about, is how do we kind of figure out this allowing people to protect the million-dollar home and still get help from Medicaid. So if anything, trying to expand the safety net program, we need to find a way to lessen that demand on the public system. And this is what people are talking about right now. We can't just keep expanding the safety net program, because there's a lot of people that aren't going to get any benefits out of that, but it's also just going to keep blowing up in costs, and it's not going to solve the real problem. So what is the other issue, what we can do? Well, find more incentives to help people plan for care through private insurance. You know, the federal government doesn't come and rebuild your house when it burns down, unless you happen to be in a forest fire or you happen to get wiped out in a flood, and FEMA does it if you don't have insurance. I don't get that. But, you know, as a general rule, you understand what I'm saying. It's like we get private insurance to protect our assets and protect what we have. So the government needs to find ways to make that easier for us to do. Now, this is easier said than done. Some action has been taken so far with the state partnership programs. That means if you go out and you buy a traditional long-term care plan, and remember, it's a bucket of money. And if you run out of that bucket of money to pay for your care, then you can apply for help from the government without spending all your assets down. So those plans have been around for quite a while. Other options I think that really need to be considered, though, include making private long-term care insurance a more viable option through tax deductions and better incentives to purchase that care. The state partnership plan only works with traditional pay-as-you-go plans that have no other value in them. The asset-based plans don't qualify for the state plans, even though they do the same thing. They provide you the long-term care services, and they pay you back if you don't use them. So that's something they could look at. They could also allow premiums to be paid tax-free out of retirement accounts. I think the vast majority of people now have most of their money in their house, and then the second biggest bucket of money for them is they're going to 401k, their little IRA. They need to allow them to maybe move some money out of that into either an asset-based plan or a traditional plan tax-free. That would give people an incentive to do that. And they also could standardize some guidelines across this country for long-term care insurance. What people don't know is every state has an insurance commissioner. And if you remember back in the day when Trump was running for office and he said, we need to break down the state lines on insurance, what he's talking about is just that. It's like we have different guidelines in every single state for health insurance, life insurance, long-term care insurance. Standardize those. That would certainly be something that could give us an incentive. So long-term care is only going to become a bigger issue moving forward. If the federal government tries to turn long-term care into a universal benefit through Medicaid, it will just be expensive and it will lead to worse options for the people who need the care. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to introduce you to Matthew and Gail, our client of the week. I'm going to show you how we help protect them from long-term care. We'll be right back.
Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, providing valuable insight to protect you in the event of an extended healthcare situation. Learn more by attending one of Brian's free live webinar classes this month. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. 525longtermcare.com. Staying in control of your care options is a better alternative than letting the government decide for you. Welcome back to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in. Brian, can you believe it's December already? I mean, gosh, this year. I mean, part of me, again, can't wait for this year to be over. But at the same sense, you know, where's the snow? You know, I'm ready to get up there on the slopes and start shredding and tearing it up a little bit. My body will still allow me to do that, but we just don't have the snow. It's been so rainy and warm out here in the West, and the Rockies, talking to my mom down in the San Luis Valley, just still don't have a lot of snow up there in the mountains yet. So let's keep our fingers crossed and get that going, because ski season should be upon us. If you're new to Long-Term Care Radio, we come out every week and we talk a little bit about some of the topics and the issues that are facing us with long-term care and some of the different types of plans and things that are out there. It's just really an educational show is what it's designed to do. This isn't a sales pitch. You're never going to hear me say call to get a quote. In fact, if you call me and ask how much long-term care costs, you're not going to get very far with me. It's like calling saying how much does a car cost, right? So what we're trying to do is educate you on the process, what long-term care is, what it pays for, how it works, some of the different types of plans, some of the different types of ways you can fund a plan. And the show, when you're ready, you're going to hear us talk about coming to these classes. Come to a webinar. We do two webinars every month. They are live. You get to see me in action. You get to shoot your questions in. We're going to answer them there in a live format. And I think it's just a great, great way for you to get, you know, your toe in the water, so to speak. And then when you're ready, we're going to help you design a custom plan for you. It's not a sales pitch. We're not going to twist your arm and tell you need it, because I don't believe this. I think that most people, once they look through this, you either want long-term care insurance or you don't. And we're here to help the people that want it. And we're going to help you design a plan and also design a, you know, not only plan that's right for you, but how do you fund it? What's the best way to fund that plan? And this week, I bring, you know, every week I bring a client of the weekend. This week I have Matthew, who is 63, and Gail, who is 64. Now, this is kind of a complex case, and I don't want you to get wrapped up in the numbers. Again, you're on the radio, if you're driving the car, you're bouncing around the house, don't try to write the numbers down. It's impossible. I don't want you to focus on the numbers. Numbers don't work great on radio. What I want you to focus on is just the story itself, the options, how we did this, how we designed it. And so Matthew and Gail are both retired, and they just got through selling the assets of their business, and that they ran this business for over 30 years. They have two adult children. They have three grandchildren who they just absolutely adore. And they're looking at, you know, really just taking some time off and relaxing and traveling now, because they've been working 60 plus hours a week for the last 30 years. And you business owners out there, you know it. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody thinks, yeah, you might be in the office 8 to 5, but you're really working all the time because you're thinking about doing stuff, running stuff. And that's just the life they've been living. Their concerns, the reason why they came to us is, number one, they want to protect their kids. Gail has a mother who just entered into an assisted living facility after falling 3 times in the last 2 months at home. You know, they really struggled, her doctor and everything, trying to get her out of that house. And she just refused to go. And she finally ended up getting forced out. Her and her siblings have been struggling the last couple of years trying to help their mom, trying to get their mom to open her eyes and say, Mom, we need to get you a better place to go, a safer place. The kids just didn't have time to, like, devote to make sure somebody was there all the time. And look what happened. You know, her mom fell. Then her mom fell again. Then her mom fell a third time. So her mom was pretty adamant about staying in the house, and she lost that, you know, she lost the battle because she just didn't have the help in there that she needed to keep her in a safe environment. So Gail is saying, look, I do not want this to happen to my kids, you know, because she goes, I love my mom. She has every right to want what she wants. But at the same sense, you know, she just wasn't in a safe environment, and it put a tremendous amount of stress on me and the siblings trying to figure out, because we love our mom, how do we take care of her? So that's what was really driving Gail. The second thing that was really important was protecting their assets. You know, as a business owner, you guys know a lot of times the business owners, they have the vast majority of their wealth in their business, as opposed to maybe, you know, somebody that's working for corporate America, they're just growing their 401k and their profit sharing. Well, as a business owner, you're building equity over the years. And when you finally get a chance to sell your business, you know, it's a different scenario. It's that's the wealth. That's the money that you worked really hard for. So they were really interested in doing that. Matthew just assumed that they would self-insure. He really did. He's like, oh, I just figured we're going to have to work hard and we're going to have to self-insure. And then he kind of stumbled upon us and he found out about these new asset-based plans and started educating himself and thought, man, this is the best of both worlds. And so that's why he came to us and said, hey, if there's a way I can get some guaranteed leverage and protect my assets and get that money back, I want to learn about that. So that's what brought him to the table. They also want to be able to stay in control of their care options. They don't want someone else making the decision for them. Again, Gail's watching what happened to her mom. The doctors basically came in and said, look, social services, she cannot stay in her home by herself anymore, period. And so Gail's like, you know what? I want to make sure that we have the resources to bring those people in if that's the situation we're in, or at least stay in control, choose where we go as opposed to being put into a facility somewhere. So that was really what was motivating them. What I found about them during our discussion, number one, they were both in good health. So that means we have lots of options. And what I mean by that is, you know, long-term care insurance plans are medically underwritten. If your health is starting to become chronically ill, some carriers will say, no, we will not take that. Other carriers will say, yes. Like type 1 diabetes, we have one carrier that will actually underwrite that policy. so you just have to look at your health overall. But they were both very healthy, so they had plenty of options, which was good. They had a very diversified portfolio. And what I mean by this is that they had a lot of different buckets of money. They had small retirement accounts. They had a lot more money in their savings and investment accounts because, again, they just sold off part of their business. They had real estate and they had a second home and they had a commercial building, which they were generating rental income on from the business. And they also had a second to die whole life insurance policy that they took out when they started the business. And again, this is very common for the business owners that know out there, like if you're a dentist or a doctor, you're starting a business and you need a bank loan. Well, the bank says, well, what happens if you die? You're the business owners. And so they'll have people go out and get life insurance policies. And so they had a permanent, they had a whole life insurance policy, which means it lasts them their whole life and it builds some cash value, which means there's some actual value in that policy if they cancel their policy or they surrender their policy. So they had a lot of different buckets of money to look at. What they wanted from a plan, something that would provide them a guaranteed stream of income and lifetime coverage. They didn't want to try to guess as 2 years, 4 years, or 6 years. They knew that lifetime benefits were available. They had heard me talking about these programs, and so that was something that was very important to them. You know, it was like one of us gets Alzheimer's or whatever it is, we don't want to worry about running out of that benefit. They would like something that would allow for home care, meaning that it can they age in place, and again, all of the plans do. This is where people still are a little bit confused. They think they've got to go to a nursing home or assisted living to get their long-term care to play. That's not true. Plans today are comprehensive. About 3 out of 4 long-term care insurance plans are actually turned on while people are still living in their own home. So remember that. They pay for care in your own home. So that wasn't a problem at all. They wanted to fund the plan with savings. They just didn't want to have any payments. That was something that Matthew just said, you know, I just want to, because I always ask, is like, you know, what was your thoughts on funding this plan? Because there's no secret to this, folks. When you're buying long-term care insurance, you're buying future dollars at a discount today. So you have to ask yourself, well, how do I want to buy those future dollars? Do I want to buy it over time? Do I just want to do a lump sum and be done? What are you willing to give up today to get in the future? That's what it boils down to. And Matthew just said, you know, I'd just like to pay it in a lump sum and just get it out of my way. And we've got the savings. We just sold the business. Maybe we could do something like that. Gil was really interested in the concierge level claim service. So again, if you've listened to the radio, if you've listened to me talk about, that's where they assign somebody to you and your family and they help you through your situation. I call them the travel guide. You show up in a foreign country. There's somebody there with a card with your name on it. They speak English. They speak the local language. They know where to stay. They know where to get food. They know where to stay away from. They know where not to eat. That's the travel guide. That's that concierge service. So she was very interested in that. And both of them would like to see the money come back to the estate if they didn't use it. That was something. So those were the things that were very important to him. So what we suggested, we looked at an asset-based plan because this checks all the boxes. Lifetime benefits are available, money back if they don't use their plan, wide variety of ways to fund the plan, including a single pay option, and that concierge level claim service. So that was pretty easy. So we nailed it down to the asset-based type of plans. Then we figured out what the lifetime benefits, that puts us into one particular plan. And then we designed a plan. And this is how we designed the plan form. First off, when I was talking to him, remember there were two things that just really stood out during our conversation with Matthew and Gail. Number one, they still technically were business owners. They sold their assets to the business. They were being paid, and they were being paid over time. So they had an income stream that was being paid back to the business, and then the business could still pay them. So they were pulling out equity out of that business slowly as well. They got a lump sum up front, but then they're getting this ongoing payments. The business is going to have that ongoing income coming in for the sale of the assets, but they actually owned a building that the business was in too that's going to generate rental income, and they were taxed as a C corporation. Now, remember, the secret about C corporations, they can write off 100% of long-term care premiums. They're not limited to the IRS limits. If it's long-term care insurance, they can write off 100% of those premiums. They can even buy, you know, if it's a traditional plan and it's just, you know, there's no other life insurance or anything else tied to it, it's all long-term care insurance. They can just do a single lump sum check if they wanted to. So that caught my eye. They were a C corporation. The second thing that stood out for me was that they had a second-to-die whole life insurance policy, which had cash value in it. They were still paying on this policy. They still had it going. I said, you know, what are you doing with this policy? It was $400,000 death benefit. They had over $200,000 of cash value in it, which means if they just canceled the plan, they get $200,000. And they didn't really need the death benefit anymore. They didn't have a business loan. They didn't have the collateral. The kids were grown. The house was paid for. So I said, what was the thought on this life insurance? Like, I don't know. We just thought we'd keep it used as an estate planning tool or something. I'm like, okay, fair enough. But they had value in it. So those were the things that caught my eye. So when I sat down to design this plan, Matthew and Gail had originally wanted to pay cash for a policy and avoid payments. They just wanted to come in and do a one and done and be gone, which I totally get. I hate payments. I know a lot of you out there do, but that doesn't mean that that's the best thing to do. So I looked him in the eye and I said, I get it. I get where you're coming from, but I'm going to recommend another option based on the assets in your income situation. And this is what I want you to do. I want to take that life insurance policy of yours and do a 1035 exchange. That's because it had over $200,000 of cash value in that, and we can move that money into a long-term care insurance contract. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to keep some life insurance for you as well, too. So they said, okay, that's interesting, and you can get rid of the payments that you're paying on that whole life policy. That's going to disappear. So you hate the payments. Let's get rid of that payment. Next, I'm not going to put all of the fund everything with just one single rollover. We're going to spread out some payments for 10 years. You're going to pay your first payment the first year, so you would actually have 9 annual payments afterwards because you can pay that out of the C corporation, this portion, and it's 100% tax deductible. So that's what we did. I said, and this allows you to preserve your cash that you have on hand right now. You can do whatever you want with it, and we're going to eliminate payments on a life insurance policy. We're going to trade them for payments on a long-term care contract that you can end up paying over 9 years. You're done, but you can write those payments off as a business expense. So that's how we did it. We made an initial deposit of $276,000 to the insurance company. Now, again, folks, this is where we get into the numbers. So don't just don't try to memorize these because it doesn't matter. Just remember, $276,000 to the insurance company. $241,000 of it ended up coming out of the cash value of the life insurance policy. This was how much money they had in there. Now, their cost basis was less than $200,000. It was in like the 180 or something. I can't remember exactly, but the cost basis is how much you paid in premiums over all those years. The cash value was worth more. So if they just surrendered that policy and took the $240,000 out of it, they would have had to pay tax on that. By doing a 1035 exchange, they avoid the tax on it. We're just literally taking that out of one pocket, putting it back in the other pocket with a bunch of features. So $241,000 came out of the life insurance policy, and the first year $35,000 came out of the business account, the C corporation. That was 100% write off for them. They were able to write that $35,000 off this year as a business expense. Now they're going to have 9 more annual payments of starting in year 2 in the amount of $9,300. So they're going to put another $83,000 into this plan in the next 10 years. And all those payments, that $9,300, will be tax deductible for them. They'll be able to write that right out of the business. Now, the total paid into their plan, about $360,000, because again, we had, remember, that $276,000 up front. And then we're going to have 9 other payments, which total $83,000. So around $360,000 going into the plan, of which about $118,000 will be a business expense write-off using business dollars tax-free to set up private long-term care insurance, which comes back to you tax-free. So this is what's so great about this plan. What did this do for them? Well, first off, it gives them a lifetime benefit of $10,000 per person per month for the rest of their life. That means $120,000 a year for Matthew, $120,000 a year for Gail, tax-free for an unlimited amount of time. If they're both on claim, they can pull $240,000 a year out of this for as long as they need it. If they never go on claim, guess what? The estate's going to get back $500,000 tax-free. This is what just blew their mind, and I love this because they had a little over $400,000 on their whole life policy on a second-to-die policy. Now they've got a $500,000 death benefit. So if they don't use the policy, $500,000 goes back to the estate tax-free. If they use less than $500,000, let's say they use $300,000 in long-term care, the estate's still going to get $200,000 back. They're putting $360,000 into this plan. They're guaranteed to get $500,000 back one way or the other, folks. You just, I mean, this is third-grade math that people don't get, but this is the beauty of leverage and tax advantages and what the Pension Protection Act has allowed us to do with these 1035 exchanges. Now, the $360,000 is what's going in. They get $120,000 a year for the rest of their life. They're guaranteed to get $500,000 back if they don't use the plan. But other features, again, lifetime benefits, concierge claim support, zero-day elimination period for home care, meaning they don't have to wait. They don't have to pay for any of their care. They get that right out of the gate. They also get $20,000 out of this plan for caregiver training. They get $20,000 for home improvement. Folks, think what this did for them. Gave them unlimited max protection. It used an asset that they already have. It gives them a tax deduction from business income that they have. They're guaranteed to get more money back than they put into this plan, regardless of what happens. But, oh, by the way, they have a true catastrophic lifetime benefit for long-term care should either one of them need it or should both of them need it. They are protected. And think what that does for them and their kids. It is just absolutely amazing. We've got to take a quick break. I got to come up for air. I always get excited on these. But when we come back, let's talk about some of the advantages of the different ways you can fund one of these plans. We'll be right back.
Avoid the mistake of paying unnecessary taxes. Guarantee the quality of your care and preserve your legacy and wealth by setting up your own tax-free long-term care plan. Learn more by attending Brian's free live webinar class. Sign up now at 525longtermcare.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. A smart, informative way to learn about long-term care is to join Colorado's certified long-term care planning specialist and host of Long-Term Care Radio, Brian Ott from 525 Advisors, for his free long-term care planning live webinar, Saturday, December 11th at 10 a.m. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you. Plans that even have lifetime benefits that pay you back if you never use it. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and 525 Advisors. So get the great peace of mind long-term care coverage can give your family. Join the free live webinar Saturday, December 11th at 10 a.m. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
The fact is, most of us have known somebody who needed long-term care. That's when a person reaches a stage in life requiring somebody else to help with basic daily activities due to physical conditions or a cognitive disease. Now, most of the time, long-term care starts in the home, which allows the individual to stay in a familiar setting. The price for long-term care can be expensive, and it could go on for years. Financial experts suggest purchasing long-term care insurance before you retire. Why? Because 7 out of 10 65-year-olds will need some sort of long-term care in the future. If you've never looked at long-term care insurance because you didn't know where to start, now you know where to start with 525 Advisors. 525 Advisors, local experts specializing in long-term care insurance, and they have plans that are guaranteed to pay you back if you never make use of them. Protect yourself and your family members from the financial cost of extended health care. Go to 525longtermcare.com.
Sign up for the next free long-term care live webinar with Brian Ott. Go to 525longtermcare.com. Are you confused about the best way to protect your family and savings? Get answers now by listening to Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott, certified long-term care planning specialist with 525 Advisors.
And welcome back. And whew, I tell you what, on these client of the weeks, you know, folks, I'm a problem solver. It's kind of funny. When I took this personality test, you know, like 20 years ago, like on top jobs, And so financial services and sales was right up there. I think that was the top. And my second one was farming. And everybody laughed. They're like, what's farming? It's like, well, you know, I grew up in a farm community. And so I know what farming is. And the thing about farming is it's problem solving. Everybody thinks, you just go out and you get in your tractor and, you know, twice a year and that's all you do. It's like, no. It's like farming is this constant battle of problem solving, fighting broken down equipment, fighting weather, fighting, you know, regulations, whatever it is. So the problem solving on these client of the weeks is what just floats my boat. I just love that. When you get somebody like Matthew and Gail and they come in and I'm just like, what are they going to get if they go to their normal financial advisor? I think you're okay. You got enough money. Don't worry about it. They just totally skip over it. Or you jump online and what do? You get a quote. Well, here's $6,000 a month for 3 years. Well, is that meaningful benefit? And we don't do that. What we really do here is we look at your whole big picture because what we're trying to do is design a custom plan. And so that's what I say. You call me up and say, how much does long-term care cost? And I was like, we're not even going to have a conversation. It can cost whatever you want it to cost. But if you call up and you have some goals and you have some things, it's like, look, I want to stay in control of my healthcare options. I don't want to wither down my assets. I want to be able to pass money on. I want to be able to pass money and pay for my grandkids' college. So I don't want, you know, to spend down my long-term care money. I want to be able to have a bucket of money for that. Those are the kind of problems we solve. And then how do you fund that plan? And what a great example this when we got Matthew and Gail thinking they had the cash, and they did. They could have just stroked the check and got a nice plan and walked away an asset-based plan that pays them back. But after just doing a little research and questioning and showing them, I was like, you know what? Look what it did for them. They still have life insurance. They actually have more life insurance now than they did before. They just got rid of that payment. They were able to use the cash value in that and get into this great plan. And they've got this ultimate level of protection now, and they are just so relieved. And that's what I love about this business, folks. These new asset-based plans, they're not right for everybody. And I get it. If you're driving down the road and you're listening in the car and you're thinking, well, I don't have $300,000, like a lot of people don't. Most people don't. But there's a lot of people that do. And those people are the people that have been ignored in the long-term care discussion. Because if you have X amount of money, whatever it is, and every advisor is different, whether it's $500,000 or $5 million, you've got enough to self-insure, they make it a money issue. And long-term care, what COVID has showed us, is it's not a money issue. It's about taking care of the people that you love. It's about going and getting mom out of that assisted living facility and bringing her home because you don't want her exposed to COVID. Well, there's a cost to that. Well, what if you have this plan that's also generating this tax-free stream of income to help you pay for that, to help offset? That's what these plans do. So there's just a lot more to it, and that's why I get so amped up on these client of the weeks. One of the things you're going to notice in there, we were talking about using it's called a 1035 exchange. So it's similar when you do a real estate exchange for property. You can move an annuity or you can move life insurance. And the only reason why you would move life insurance into another plan is if there's some surrender value or cash value. If you have just a term life insurance policy, there's no value in that policy. That's just use it or lose it. But whole life policies, permanent life insurance policies that have cash value or surrender value, if there's gain in that contract, meaning that you've paid $200,000 in premiums and it's worth $250,000, well, those are the values that if you take that money out, you got to pay tax on the gain, or you can move it into a long-term care tax-free. So that's what we did. And this was a direct result of the Pension Protection Act. And for those of you, and I will do this on a future show because we run into this quite a bit too, annuities. There are literally billions and billions of dollars of deferred annuities, and the vast majority of those annuities are just passed on to the estate when the people die. Because the thing about a deferred annuity, whether it's an indexed annuity or a multi-year guaranteed fixed rate annuity, it doesn't matter what it is. The advantage of annuity, even variable annuities, is that the gain in the contracts are tax deferred. So you don't have to pay any tax. So a lot of people get these annuities. They're just getting bigger and bigger every year, and they don't have to claim them. They don't have to pay tax like you do in a CD. Well, guess what? You can take the gain in those contracts out tax-free, reposition it into a long-term care contract, and get that guarantee coverage. So that's what a 1035 exchange does. That's for life insurance or for annuities. And so that's what I say. When we are designing a plan, we're going to ask you a lot of questions. A lot of people are like, well, why do you need to know that? Why do you need to know that? It's like, because my job is to guide you to A, make sure you get a plan that's meaningful based on your estate. Because remember, the more you have, the more you have to lose. If you've only got $50,000 in the bank, well, that's all you got to lose. If you got $5 million of assets, guess what? You got $5 million to lose. So we're trying to design plans that are meaningful for your situation. But more importantly, what's the best way to fund it? And the best way to fund it may not be the first choice for you, like Matthew coming in saying, I just want to pay cash and be done. I was like, well, let's explain this. Let me show you. You have an asset here. I'm going to just take it out of one pocket and stick it back in the other pocket and put a bunch of other features on it. And you'll get some tax advantage there because you get to move that money out that has a gain tax-free. And oh, by the way, if we spread a little bit of this money out, He could have wrote the check for those nine payments. He could have done all that in one single lump sum. But I'm like, but why? You have this continued income stream from the sale of your business and this rental income. You can offset some of that every single year. So why don't we do that? And he's like, okay, I get it. So that's what we do. So again, folks, thanks for spending your time with me. Sign up for one of our classes, 525longtermcare.com. Again, Saturday the 11th, that's a 9 a.m. kickoff Pacific time, 10 a.m. kickoff Rocky Mountain time. And then we're going to be back on Wednesday the 15th. It's the exact same class, so just giving you two different schedules. Wednesday the 15th at 3 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Rocky Mountain time. It's a great way for you to learn the basics, get a feel for the way we work, understand what the options are out there. And then when you're ready, we will guide you through the process and help you design a custom plan for you. And more importantly, get you approved. That's a big part of this. So thanks again for tuning in. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to Long-Term Care Radio with certified long-term care planning specialist, Brian Ott. You can download and subscribe to the podcast at 525longtermcare.com and learn about all the long-term care planning options available. If you have questions for Brian or would like information about any of his upcoming long-term care webinars, go to 525longtermcare.com. Be sure to join us next weekend for another edition of Long-Term Care Radio with Brian Ott. For information, show schedules, and podcasts, go to 525longtermcare.com.